up, everybody? Welcome to The Stack. I'm Alex.
I'm Justin.
I'm Pete.
And on The Stack, we talk about a couple of books that came out this very week
and review them.
Guys, I can't wait any longer. I want to get right into it because I'm very excited about our first book. It's War and Peace. War and Peace.
Yeah, now, we're getting starting at the canon. We're going through the canon.
Ooh, yes. And they have a lot of canons in War and Peace, which was one of my favorite parts about it.
Yeah.
Pete, what did you like?
Peace.
Yeah.
You were more of a best of times guy.
Yeah.
How far in did you get? It was too rich for my blood.
I'm actually excited about this first book here because this is the return of one of our absolute favorite books of all time on the show. Please. We've been doing the show for 13 years at this point.
I don't know. I'm dying.
14 in December.
Yes. We should mention Justin has TB, I believe.
Whooping cough. Consumption. I think I have consumption.
Okay, great. He definitely coughed once, and we know by the end of this podcast he will be exhumed.
Yeah.
So that's pretty sad. But it is back. Lock and Key, Dog Days number one. It's a one-shot set in the universe of IDW's Lock and Key, done by Joe Hill and Gabriel Rodriguez. This is not a new...
Back together again.
The dream team taking it on or anything like that. It's the two of them. It's two short stories in one book with the promise of something more, which is very exciting, and I want to talk about that in a moment. But let's start
with the most adorable story of all time, maybe.
Gonna disagree with that a little bit. But how does it feel to be back in this world? How does it feel to have this back?
It's great. The way that Joe and Gabriel work together is unbelievable because Gabriel's art has this darkness to it, even though it's ostensibly just great art, but there's some sort of like tension in it that makes you dread what's going to happen to these characters. And then these stories are like fun and lighthearted, but there's still this underlying.
I think that's what I was reading into it. It's to Pete's point. So to give you guys the rundown in Lock and Key, it mostly takes place at this place called Key House, where there's this mystical metal that can be forged into keys that can do almost anything. Some very dark things happen over the course of the series.
Yeah, and keys are sort of like, keys and locks are like Wi-Fi passwords from back in the old days.
Right, old-timey.
It's old-timey Wi-Fi passwords.
That.
Yeah.
Yeah, with the TB.
Exactly. I only have old diseases.
So that story wrapped up pretty succinctly, but throughout the run of the book, they did a bunch of Golden Age stories where they went throughout time to Key House, visited different eras there, showed how different people use the keys. And that's mostly what we're getting in this issue, where essentially they use like an old-timey comic strip. I want to say Little Rascals, but obviously it's not Little Rascals, but that sort of gives you a sense of the time period where there's three people goofing around during summer. Each page... This reminded me a lot of the Calvin and Hobbes issue of Lock and Key, but with a different reference point. And here you have the strips running downwards in the middle of the page, and behind each strip, Gabriel Rodriguez draws a background, a key
epic
area
background
from Key House.
Yeah.
And you get a fun twist by the end of the story, and then you get one bonus story that's very cool and points to interesting things for potentially for the future.
Now, when did you know the twist of the first one?
Pretty early, like second panel,
just
second,
by the tongue.
Second paddle.
Yeah, just by the tongue, I knew it.
I didn't know till after the butthole line, but not on the butthole line. Yeah. After.
Do you know what I knew?
Once that butthole line sunk in, then you got it.
Yeah. I figured it out two or three paddles after they revealed it.
Wow, nice. Congrats.
I was running real slow on this one.
Yeah, that's great.
We're obviously dancing around the reveal. I don't want to spoil it here because it's such a fun reveal. But it was definitely the sort of thing where I read it and I was like, oh, that's an interesting thing that happened. Wait a second.
Yeah, wait
gotta
a second.
Back the trade up here.
You're
a
not a
bit.
Real pet guy, so you don't know.
Nope. No. But the other thing that happens in this issue other than
he gets it because he thinks like an animal.
Yeah.
He does.
I smell my own.
Yeah, animal style. The original In-N-Out, Pete the Page.
I'm the dog of this podcast.
100%. And I'll tell you what, you're not even inside dog. You're an outside dog.
Oh, yeah.
You, like, have fleas, and your Scooby snacks are Subway sandwiches.
So this is great to see it back. They do reference at the end of the first story, they say, there's another Golden Age story coming up, and then a big Lock and Key event you're not going to want to miss.
Yeah.
What do you think that can mean? What could that possibly be?
I think there's going to be a whole new series once the TV series comes out.
Yeah.
I think Joe Hill was teasing this on Twitter last week, I believe, that they're doing more Lock and Key together.
Yay.
That's great. I love it. This is something where I don't need more of it because the story was so good
How
and so
dare
finished.
You?
Yeah. No, because they did.
You're a guy who finishes a good dinner is like, I'll never eat again. And what do you need the next day?
Yeah, you're the kind of guy.
More food.
It's ridiculous.
I know.
Every morning I wake up.
I only eat great Lock and Key stories.
Yeah. Oh, man.
I'm starving.
That's a good way to live, though.
Real quick, though, before we move on.
Yes.
What kind of dog are each of us?
Oh, great wow.
Question. This is a tough question.
Yeah.
Pete, Corgi.
A corgi?
Yeah.
I pictured myself a little differently.
Well, tell me. Stallion?
I was going to say like a husky or something like
husky.
That. Husky. Yeah, yeah.
Cold weather.
What are the dogs with the big jowls?
Yeah.
A pit bull?
No, Marmaduke?
Pit bull, but like less aggressive. What's that?
I don't know.
Poodle?
Yeah.
Pete the poodle. What am I talking
Pete
about?
The poodle. Oh, there we go. Hashtag.
Pete the poodle. What about you?
I don't know anything about dogs. I'm going to say.
You're definitely a poodle because that's the smartest dog.
Oh, thanks, man.
Wow. I can't believe that was a compliment. Yeah. Also, poodles are not smart. Poodles are stupid dogs.
I thought poodles were smart dogs.
They're just like floofy.
You're fooled by the well manicured dog. Poodles are very stupid.
I'll tell you what, I would love to be a wiener dog because those are hilarious.
Yeah. Alex wants to drag his penis on the ground wherever he goes. And that's true.
What am I doing right now? Yeah. What am I doing right now?
And that's true.
And the whole point of this is we could talk about what you are.
That's not the whole point. I was curious.
No, I think you had a little gem in your
pocket. I really don't.
We're just teeing it up for you.
I wanted you guys to say it for me. I don't know.
What's,
I would say kind of golden dog? Retriever.
Nice. I get always a little muddy.
Yeah.
Rolling around, getting rocks out of the lake.
Yep.
That's me.
Yeah, that tracks.
Eats anything.
Again, I don't know much about dogs.
Garbage.
I think that's all dogs.
Yeah, what kind of dog eats its own shit?
Most of them. Yeah. I'm a puppy of some sort.
This book is fantastic. It's great to see the team back together. Even if you've never picked up Lock and Key before, you can pick up this issue. Mm-hmm. There's some things that may take a little bit of explanation, but that's all right. They're two fun fantasy stories, and you're going to have a blast. Can't wait to see more of it. And definitely bring back Dr. Zalman in future issues. All right, moving on.
Wow.
Big debut from DC Comics, Legion of Superheroes #1, highly anticipated from Brian Bendis and Ryan Sook. This is bringing the current iteration of Superboy into the future, mixing him up with the Legion of Superheroes. We've certainly speculated that this is the book that Brian Bendis wanted to write all along. So how do you think it panned out? What'd you feel about the book?
I'm a huge fan of the Legion, and I liked it. I think writing these characters suits Bendis really well, because it's like teenagers who are just like, ba 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 ba, and that's what he likes. That's sort of the pace he writes at. I think that's why he was so good with Miles Morales, and this is like writing 50 Miles Moraleses.
Wow. The Legion stuff is just so cluttered to me. You don't get enough time.
Too many people.
Yes, too many people. You don't get enough time with each one, so it's like, why the fuck? But
you also hate teens.
Yeah, teens bother me. No, that's not true. I just think that I'm excited to see where this goes. There was almost too much in this issue. I wish there wasn't as much stuff because I felt like we were rushing through stuff. And there was literally a point where he's meeting people and then he got pulled away and it seemed like he was supposed to meet that one girl and that didn't happen and I was kind of sad about it.
Yeah, that's Rose, which picks up on the Legion of Superheroes Millennium series. It was a two-parter that was released, also written by Brian Bendis. So that's teasing things to come because there is going to be, I think, his reboot of the Great Darkness saga is what they're going to be getting into.
Because it seemed like Superboy was a real dick move.
He's overwhelmed.
Yes, he's overwhelmed. I think the idea of the issue is just...
I mean, people were wearing name tags. I mean,
you know what I'm also over... Let me talk, buddy, huh?
No.
Wow.
I'm not going to do it.
Jumping in here.
Yeah, tables have turned. You know how I feel.
Yeah, I do. It feels great.
Wow, yip, yip, yip from the poodle and the wiener dog.
Do you want to smell my butt?
Yeah, I do. Okay. I just feel like they were doing a good job trying not to overwhelm them. Everybody had floating name tags. I mean, what else you got to do, Superboy?
It was a lot of stuff and a lot thrown there. It almost felt like Bendis was purposely getting away from what you'd expect from an issue like this. Like, you expect Superboy to show up in the future and be like, here's my introduction to the Legion. I'm your entry point. I'm going to walk you through.
Yeah.
But he doesn't even come in until, like, the fifth or sixth page. And then, to your point, Pete, once he's there, they have those locator name tags, which are clearly supposed to be comic book boxes identifying who everybody is. He's like, wow, these are helpful, but you can't read any of them.
We can't read them. And they spend a lot of time being like, hey, would you just watch this presentation where we lay out what's happening? He's like, I'm busy. And I was like, can you please go watch that presentation?
I would like
to see that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's very purposeful in avoiding what you think you should be getting with a first issue like that.
Yeah.
It also, there's a very metatextual joke where Superboy is talking about, like, oh, usually there's like five people on a team like this. There's a lot more.
Yeah.
And so it does feel like this enormous crowd. So I want to see how it pans out in the long run, honestly. Like, if every issue is like this, it's going to feel like walking through Times Square in the middle of the day.
I love that shit.
No, that's
so
awful.
Many Elmos. That's great.
Yeah.
People handing me flyers.
I don't remember that many Elmos being in, and people trying to sell comedy club tickets.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
In the Times
Square is
I will say the design of New Earth was very cool and was a nice centerpiece to the issue.
This is Ryan Sook's arc is
so
fantastic
good.
In here.
Yeah.
Great. Differentiated characters throughout.
And there's been a lot of redesigns to the characters.
Yeah.
So it's
Ryan
cool.
Sook's art does not sook. So that's great.
Nice. Wow. That's great.
Pete, really Jesus. Feeling it.
Oh my God.
Talk about a puppy.
Feeling his oats today. From Boom Studios, The Magicians, number one. This is picking up on the series on Sci-Fi.
Don't you guys love The Magicians?
Yes.
Yeah, we do love
You guys are huge. This is the odd thing that you're both huge fans of.
Yes. Why is it
well,
odd?
Well, up until what happened to the end of the last season, but.
Yeah, I was only a fan till the one point in the books that really pissed me off.
Wait, you read the books?
Yeah.
You read the books of this?
Yeah, I know.
Holy shit. This must be something you would love.
The two things that connect us, The Magicians and the Step Up series.
That's true.
Wow. Now who's smelling butts?
Me too. So this is different characters than are on the TV show and in the books. This is also by Lila Sturges, who has a vast knowledge of magical comic books. So this I thought was really good. I think this captured the tone of the books nicely. It's dark. It's weird. It's set at Breakbills, which is their adult magic university. Mm-hmm. It's initially in the books. If you haven't read them and seen the show, it starts as Harry Potter and sort of moves into being Chronicles of Narnia pretty quickly as soon as they get bored with that.
It gets dark fast, too.
It gets very dark. But I thought this was great. I thought this channeled the tone correctly. I'm curious to hear from you, though, Justin, if you're not a fan of it.
I was confused for the first
And did you want to let people know you voted today or no?
I did vote today.
Okay, cool.
I wasn't going to say it. I should say I'm covered in I voted stickers.
Yeah. Right. How many times did you vote?
I voted in every different state in America.
Wow. Congrats.
Just trying to push
really
the message.
Cool.
You know?
Oh, nice. I'm pretty sure it's illegal.
Well, come and get me.
Yeah. There's luckily there's no record.
Yeah, exactly.
That's a great use of the word record.
Pete is like, showed up on his motorcycle today. He's like, hey, who's bad? I'm bad.
Yeah. This is just to give you an explanation of that. We taped another podcast that isn't even out yet, Pete. Get your timeline straight. Where I said the word record to describe a record. He was like, yo,
it's
man,
not
nobody calls them
record.
Records.
A record is somebody's permanent
whatever. I've been
record.
Hanging out with the youth all weekend. We've been drinking our sodies at the malt shop. So don't call them records, man. They're called LPs.
Yeah, thank you for finally getting to it.
Yeah, no problem. They are called records.
I didn't
asshole.
Know in this comic book, The Magicians,
oh,
I didn't
oh,
know what was going on at first. It felt, because I don't know the TV series, I felt like it was.
But you've heard of Magicians, right?
Yes, I did know
okay.
The being like a title word right. To get us into the, and then Magicians is like David Copperfield.
Right, right.
Who once made me disappear. And
is that true?
That's true.
Really?
Look at the way you
have
slid
we talked about that before?
100 times. anyway, but by the end, I thought
sorry,
this was
it's
great.
Sorry, it's just that's not about my life, so I didn't remember.
I know, you don't remember.
Yeah.
You really forgot?
I really did forget.
Oh, I've told that story too. So many times.
No, that's not true.
What? By the end of it, I thought this was a great, I love the last page reveal. It was a very fun issue.
Where were you?
I can't ever tell.
Yeah.
I meant like, were you in New York? Was this when you were traveling the world doing street magic?
I was a five.
You know what? I'll say I do remember us talking about this because I remember Pete asking the same questions. Yes.
Questions. I was David Blaine for 6 months. I was 5 years old in Syracuse, New York, where I grew up, and David Copperfield came to town.
Yeah, but you didn't grow up in Syracuse. You were just
north
in,
of Syracuse. Okay. Yes, but I came north to of the
Syracuse.
City.
But after the trick, he lived in Syracuse.
Yeah. Right.
So, I came to the city to learn magic.
Oh.
And he made me disappear on stage.
Wow.
Very cool.
Did you have to like sign a thing that says you wouldn't reveal the trick?
Yeah, and then the devil was there.
Whoa. Oh,
that's
like
real
a
cool.
Magical devil or the real devil?
What's the difference?
That's a good question.
I make this look good.
Cool.
Let's move on to a Marvel comic book, New Mutants number one. Now, this continues the run on X-Men that Jonathan Hickman has been masterminding. Each individual title has been focusing on a different section of the mutant populace. There's actually two issues that come out this week. We'll talk about the second one in a little bit. But New Mutants is the first one. This is the only non-X-Men title written by Jonathan Hickman.
Yes.
And what I mean by that is he wrote House of Hex, Powers of Ten. He's writing the main X-Men title. He's masterminding the whole line. But he's also doing this New Mutants title. So there's a certain expectation there that it's going to have the same hard-hitting...
Heft.
Yeah, the heft. Nope, it's a romp.
It does feel like... But I will say there's some underlying things going on here.
Well, Pete has been raising his hand because he thinks we're in class. What's up, Pete?
Were you upset by Cypher in this issue?
Why would I be upset by Cypher in this
because
issue?
Because it didn't make any sense. Cypher was asking the Earth guy,
yeah,
like
Mondo.
Yeah, Mondo to talk to the
island.
Yeah. So it was like weird to me because
I think I'm starting to see what the problem might have been.
But what was upsetting to me was Cypher is supposed to be the guy who can communicate with everybody. So what the fuck does he need Mondo for?
His power is not communicating with anybody. His character, his power is translating languages.
Right.
It would be better if it was that. But unfortunately, as Alex pointed out, like a real Cypher, he's like, actually, my power is much worse than what you just said.
All right.
Yeah, but no, the other run, he's been talking to Krakoa the whole time.
Yeah,
it's been him and Krakoa talking.
But
and
he establishes
all of a sudden
he can't
talk to Krakoa?
No, but he establishes at the beginning. What they've established, to your point about the darkness, there's something going on with Krakoa where it seems to be like not just, wow, it's this mutant paradise, but it's popping up gates all over the universe. It's causing plants, as we find out
there's
in this issue.
There's animals that shouldn't be there.
There's animals that shouldn't be there, which we find out in X-Force. There's plants that are getting killed in space by what's going on with Krakoa. So there's clearly some sort of weird darkness going on there, something wrong. And Doug is looking into that. Like Mondo can communicate with plants, I guess.
I think Mondo's sort of like the Absorbing Man.
Okay.
With a little more like psionic connection, I think, to what he absorbs.
So he's trying to forge a closer connection with Krakoa, talk to Krakoa directly, not just in the Krakoan language. So that's what's going on there.
I thought Cypher was just being a lazy asshole about it because can you do my job? Because like I'm big time now.
Yeah, that's like when Wolverine pops off his claws and hands them to somebody else. He's like, you be the best at what you do.
Yeah, your turn with the knife bones, lady. That's what he said.
Knife.
That's what he said
lady.
To X-23.
Hey,
hey, you're up with the sharp ends.
Yeah,
I'm done with this shit. Put one on your foot.
That said, there is a great thing that happens at the beginning of this comic book where the New Mutants characters, I believe it's Danny Moonstar and Roberto DaCosta, are on Krakoa, and they're walking through and talking about their history, and every panel is a different young X-Men team that came after them.
Yeah.
And it was such a neat, smart way to walk us through the history of X-Men and show why this New Mutants team is still staying together. I thought that was very cool.
It was cool, and I like the world here where they all live in sort of a commune on the Krakoa Island. And immediately they're like, let's go to fucking deep space and take some huge risks.
Right. And so they think, for those of you who aren't totally clear, because there's a lot of deep continuity going on here, Sam Guthrie Cannonball, they think, is with his family in space having a good time in the Shi'ar Empire. But he actually, I believe, has been captured And is in prison right now, which they don't know yet.
Yeah.
But so they're in danger, and they're going into even deeper danger after that.
And there's the Brood are going to be involved, it seems like. Yeah. The Starjammers are sort of dicks.
Yeah. Well, now you know where Cyclops gets it from. His dad is a straight-up asshole.
As soon as I read that, I could hear you saying those words to me. And I'll tell you what, I didn't like it.
Yeah.
I have a question about this new world of X-Men that we're living in. So we know that the X-Men can be and often are reborn in what they consider their ideal forms, their happiest forms.
Yeah.
But there's still people that have, like, what's her name? Sean, the one, I don't remember what her code name is.
Wolfsbane?
Not Wolfsbane. Sean, who comes over and hangs out with her, still has her metal leg.
Yeah.
Why? Why would they not? Why would they come back
metal
with
legs?
Like,
I mean, bionic legs are pretty cool.
Sure, but why would you come back with a leg missing or
I don't
arm
think
missing
she's
or
died.
Something?
I think she's been alive.
Oh, okay.
So she still has the metal leg because.
All right. So she should probably.
So you're probably like, hey, somebody kill me so I can come back.
Yeah,
with
kill
both.
Yourself.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you what. That's the weird thing about reading this is you can't think too much about that. Where they're like, why don't I just? Oh, I'm not feeling well today. Kill me and I'll come back.
Yeah, exactly.
I want to die. Oh, I do want to die.
Yeah. Oh, man, I shouldn't have eaten all that. Kill me. Yeah.
Oh, my God. That's very like, oh, I got a splinter. Kill me.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Wow.
Think about that. That would be great. It's tough to remove a splinter.
Oh,
it
my God.
You got to sit there and like dig under the skin. Just shoot me in the fucking head, you know?
Oh,
bring me back at one of the eggs.
Ugh, bad haircut. Kill me.
Oh, my God.
I want my ideal haircut.
I'm a little tired. Kill me.
Oh, my God.
Ah, I'm so rested. Well, I mean, that's the kind of stuff we got to deal with here.
Yeah.
But I do think they've established that it's a time-consuming and difficult process to bring people back. So if you die, you don't get to, like, come back right away.
Yeah,
right.
After a while, they're going to be like, all right, Justin, we've killed you 8 times. Come on.
Nah, one more time. I want a 2-week vacation. Yeah. Kill me.
You keep bringing me out naked. I step down. I got a splinter in my foot.
Yeah. Whoops. Kill me. I just feel more comfortable nakedly emerging from a golden egg.
Yes.
Kill me.
This book is great.
Ridiculous, though. This is kind of getting ridiculous.
It just started.
Getting ridiculous? What are you talking about?
The more we learn, the more I'm like, what?
What I like about it is the more we learn, the more they actually explain everything.
Yeah, and it's interesting.
Yes, I agree.
And
I disagree.
I still don't feel totally comfortable with the status quo. But I don't think you're supposed to. Exactly. Yeah. I love this book. As a fan of the New Mutants,
you love this book.
Yes, of course I love this quality book that is well drawn and written. I'm sorry,
beautifully drawn.
It is beautifully drawn.
And I'll mention another thing about the art that I particularly liked in this issue. It comes through in spaces, but there's one panel in particular of Ilyana of Magic where she freaks out that is like very specifically drawn like Bill Sienkiewicz.
Yeah.
It's not exactly that art, but they're clearly channeling that for this.
Yeah. The way the framing is. Is very
exactly.
Perfect. She's got a coffee problem that nobody's addressing.
Well, that's the other thing about this book is it's fun and funny because it's kids. They're still kids, even though they're got to be almost 30 now.
But what's upsetting is like you get kids talking about coffee. Okay, cool. And then one kid's like, you don't want to know how that's made. And then we don't address it. So now we don't know how it's made.
Yeah.
It's like, what the fuck? I hate kids.
Super bothered by the lack of coffee explanation.
Yes. Sorry. I mean, you're in comedy, so you know it's always funniest when you explain the joke, right?
Well, you can't just leave it and not come back to it.
There are a million things happening in this issue, and one joke about coffee, you're like, nope, give me more. Yep. I want more coffee tangent.
The joke is that it's grown out of shit, Pete.
Oh.
Is that funnier now? Are you happy?
Yeah, thanks for telling me.
All right, well, I feel terrible, so just kill me.
no problem.
Great book. Definitely pick that up. Moving on to Image Comics, Die, number 9.
Oh, Die.
Number 9. Yeah. This takes place in an alternate world where it's based on a role-playing game, kind of. That's the best way of putting it.
Yeah.
A bunch of kids who got sucked into the game when they were kids are
kind
back
like Jumanji
now.
Kind of like a little bit.
Yeah, or Dungeons & Dragons. The TV
like
series.
Just smart. An adult Jumanji.
Yeah.
A smarter Jumanji.
It's like Jumanji, sure. Welcome to the Jungle, instead of Jumanji.
Yeah, everyone agrees Welcome to the Jungle is a smarter version of Jumanji.
Uh-huh. So that happened. They are now captured, and there's a crazy twist in this issue where it turns out that they are, this is my interpretation of it, and tell me if I'm wrong.
You're wrong.
But they are not, thanks, Pete, they are not the first people to be there. And in fact, the first people to be there are the Bronte family.
I think it's going to extend beyond that even. But yeah, I love the world building here where it's not, they sort of realize that it's not a world that they created. It's a world that all creatives tap into, like people who are obsessive fans about their work or worlds that they create. And so, yeah, the Bronte sisters are the next logical step.
Well, yes, that's where my mind would go. Dungeons and Dragons, working backwards, Bronte sisters.
Exactly.
But it's just one of those things where it's like everybody thinks, oh, it's all fun and games. You know, create your own worlds. There's fucking consequences to creating your own worlds. But I really love this book. You think you kind of understand what's going on, and then they completely throw you.
It's like that time you followed a meatball into a Subway grate and created your own little world.
Hey, I would have been fine living down there if you didn't fucking pull me out.
That meatball wasn't going to last you forever, bro. You would have been eating shit coffee minute later.
But the art's amazing. Storytelling just keeps getting better. This is one of those books where I can't wait for it to be collected and you can sit down and just read the whole thing. It's going to be really magical.
Yeah, the way it's written is a little hard to fully parse all the time.
Yes.
And I think that's purposeful and fine, but I think to Pete's point, it will read better when you can just absorb it all.
To me, this issue in particular felt like The Wicked and Divine, where I love that the entire run, but every time I jump back in, I go like, which character is this? I think I remember this person.
Yeah.
And I like them, and I like all the characters, but it is difficult to keep track of month to month, to Pete's point.
Yeah.
Still, great book. Next one to talk about, the other X-Men book out this week, X-Force number one. Pete, you got to be excited. All the sharp, angry mutants together in a book, finally. Don't worry if you thought it was going to be all peace and partying on an island. Here's some stuff getting fucked up.
Fun's over, assholes.
Well, I think Wolverine's
here comes
right.
The knife, guys.
And Wolverine's fucking right, man. You soft assholes all fucking singing songs and thinking you're on fucking paradise. Wow. Hey, guess what, man?
Here comes the Grinch trying to shut down the Who Village.
Yeah, exactly. Also think Wolverine's like, you guys are fucking soft. I'm going back to my moon thruple.
Yeah, exactly. He lives on the moon and fucks another couple.
He's probably, let's be honest, fucking Cyclops.
Dude, fuck you guys.
100%. I'm not even joking about this. There is no doubt in my mind that Cyclops and Wolverine are hooking up.
Okay, first off, if they want to do that, that's the right good for them. Secondly, you don't fucking know that, so don't push your own agenda on that. All right?
And Cyclops is like, check out my little Cyclops.
And Wolverine or maybe like, Wolverine is just like, I'll be off to this side, sort of a cuckold situation.
Whatever. This book,
it's not a throuble.
I'm finally getting,
I'll be in the other room. I'm the best I am at what I do, and it's watching you guys have sex.
Sure. I'm sure you'd be the best at that.
I'm the best there is at what I do, and what I do is peep through this tiny hole drilled in the wall. It's a good look at your bedroom.
I'm glad
that
we're
picture like in the cartoon. Yeah. You know the meme. Doing that in real life now.
Now you see just fucking giving it back to me.
Yep.
Yeah, so anyways, I'm glad that we're finally getting down to the fact that this island's evil and fucked up and this bullshit that they're all lying to themselves about living with the rest of society. Well, I think it shows the fact that like there's this wild beast that shouldn't be there.
Well, there's something up, like we were talking about before. There's something weird happening.
Yeah, so good. I don't want Krakoa to be the fucking thing going forward.
But to be fair,
it
you
is
never
the fucking thing going,
it's going forward. You've never trusted islands.
Yeah.
That's fair. That's why you don't live on Manhattan.
Yep.
And when you go to Hawaii, you just scream the whole time.
Yeah, it's stressful.
Get me out of here.
You do that every year. Why do you go there?
Yeah, you shouldn't go there. Yeah. He keeps open. It's going to be
a sweet deal, though.
Just connect to the mainland. Deal.
When you think about it, Earth's an island.
Oh, shit.
Oh,
see you guys later.
See you guys later.
I'm looking forward to the potential chance that the Colossus Domino relationship will be reignited in this comic.
Reignited.
Really liked that.
Maybe.
And I was sad. I thought he was going to marry Shadowcat, and then that just didn't happen. So that was cool.
Well, he gets pretty fucked up this issue, which is
he's got
sad for Colossus because that's what happens to him all the time. He never gets it
he
easy.
He takes a lot of damage.
So the idea of this book is that as we, and I think everybody expected, there is a group of humans that are not taking the X-Men establishing their own island lying down.
Yep.
They take the fight right to them. And I think we can get into spoilers here. So I'll give it a 1, 2, 3 pause if you don't want to hear them. But they take the fight directly to Professor Xavier. And as we speculated way back at House of X when they first revealed that all of the mutants' memories were in his helmet, they shoot him in the fucking helmet and kill him by the end of the issue, which is...
That's fucked great. Up.
Yeah, it's very fucked up. Now,
fuck Lollipop Guy.
Oh, you went in a different direction there. Given that we know they can be resurrected, but as you were mentioning, it's not easy. How did the death, quote-unquote, of Professor Xavier strike you at the end of this issue? Because this is the first really big death of this new status quo.
And it depends on how they play it. I mean, we don't really know what happened, but say he did die. I think, does he get to go to the front of the line of the resurrection machine?
I think so.
Are they going to be
That's
like,
bullshit,
no.
Dude, you got to wait like everybody else, man.
Yeah, no, let's make sure we get Blob out. Yeah. First, and
yeah, we need him to walk around with his skin,
stuff, and like, and then stand there and not move. Yeah. What's Blob's job? What's Blob's
hey,
job?
Hey, don't quit your Blob job.
He's security. We all know that.
Security?
Yeah, he's a bouncer.
So they did describe on the Professor X thing. First of all, I believe there's five.
Were you guys happy when he died? Because no. I sat down my comic and just started clapping on the subway, just like...
You're on the human side.
Wow. Yeah.
Which, just to be clear, is the racist side.
Wait, what?
Yeah, there's a bunch of racists dressed in Marauders goggles and things who are not Marauders, Reavers goggles, jumping onto Krakoa and murdering mutants. You're on their side?
No, I just am sick of Lollipop Head.
Oh, but they're the guys who killed him, so you're like, yeah, go racist.
No.
Okay. Seems like you kind of are. I'm glad we touched on this, though. So there are, I believe, 5 backups. Is it 2 backups or is it 5 backups?
What?
Of all of the mutant database.
Oh, yes.
5.
I don't remember.
Yeah, whatever it is, there's several backups. They're going to bring Xavier back, so that's not an issue. But I still thought that was a big... great way to end this issue.
Yeah, this feels like the more extreme like comic title of the X-Men universe. So that's cool.
Yeah, I'm excited. I'm excited how everything is going on in its own direction, and I hope that sticks. Next one to talk about from DC Comics, Justice League number 35. This is continuing the Justice League Doom War storyline. Guess what? Doom 1. Doom 1 took over the DC Universe. A sigil is appearing in every sky in the multiverse.
Yeah.
And over the course of this issue, Perpetua, who is the creator of the multiverse, goes to the Gotham by Gaslight dimension and just...
Great place to start. If you're going to conquer the multiverse.
She's like, you assholes, too much smoke.
Yeah, don't like this old-timey steampunk shit. You're done.
Oh, shit.
That's what she said. What's
your stance on steampunk, bro?
That's not my, that's Perpetua.
Oh, okay.
She's always been down on steampunk.
Right. Yeah. It seemed like you were into it.
She's a villain.
What do you think about this issue? How are you feeling about the storyline?
I really like seeing the sigils in the sky across all the different multiverse. I thought that tied it together and was the first. All of the issues last month ended with, no matter what title, them being like, whoa, look at that weird beetle in the sky. And I was like, okay, I get it, but this made more sense to me that it becomes more of a danger that everyone's seeing it. Mm-hmm. And there was a lot of explaining going on in this issue, but I loved a couple great moments. Batman and Jaro, Batman talking to Martian Manhunter and Hawkgirl's son, Shane, on the ship was super sad. And I'm excited to see where this is going.
I'm very surprised that they seem to be doing whatever their crisis storyline is in this. Like, this seems to be their crisis storyline.
They use the crisis word.
Yeah, I thought that they were gearing up to something else that would be line-wide, and in a way it is, but it's cool. It's cool keeping it in Justice League, which should be the banner title regardless.
I mean, there's so much going on. There's the Batman Who Laughs virus is flying around to different people. Leviathan is like a whole mystery. There's just a lot going on. There's the dark multiverse. A lot of plot.
And they work in Barbados. What's his name? Sorry to bring
Barbados
up
Barbados is an island.
Yeah.
So watch out.
Barbacoa?
Great way of eating meat.
the dark Batman.
Yes.
But I do.
I
think it's Barbatos.
Barbatos.
Yeah.
Not Barbados.
No.
Different things.
But
he shows up in here and seems
he's
to be,
like, Perpetua!
Free me! So I think shit's going to get even more fucked up from here.
I agree. I think that the Justice League stuff has been really good, and I'm very happy with how epic this has been. And I think that it's just getting more and more epic, so I'm very much enjoying it. Art's fantastic. A lot of fun storytelling.
Let's move on to a Dark Horse comic book, Crone number one. Here's the pitch for this book. It's basically, what if Red Sonja got old?
Yeah.
And that's cool with me. I really enjoy this quite a bit.
I thought this was great.
Yeah, this was really cool.
Yeah, and you must like this. She fights a bear, Pete.
Yeah, what? I don't hate, well, okay, Riverdale bear? Is that what that was a reference
no,
to?
No, I'm just saying she fights a bear, which is cool, and you like cool fights.
I do like cool fights. But there was also
fighting with a bear.
Fighting with a
Take
bear.
Take my hand. We'll make it, I swear.
Ooh.
Wow.
Yeah.
Anyways, yeah, I like the idea of somebody who's only happy and when they're fighting. That really speaks to me.
And old.
And I think it's a cool. I like
Pete,
the way.
I should remind you, as our youth correspondent,
I like how they started it. You know, we got to see her at kind of her pinnacle and then see her now and the kind of like the evil person that's tying this all together. So I think it's a really solid first issue. Does a great job of getting people excited for what's moving forward.
Great premise. I'm excited to see. I think she's going to fight. So yeah, let's do that.
I think so.
I feel it.
Yeah. You think she's going to be like, no, no thanks. And they'll say, well, leaving your mountain.
And it's going to be her just making tea for the next 10
issues.
Man,
I love a good tea.
I love a tea pairing.
Man. Moving on to a Boom Studios book, BB Free, number one. This is an interesting, weird book from Blue Box. I don't know how to describe the premise of this book.
It's set, I think, 200 years in the future in Florida, which is now a series of islands. Watch out.
Yep.
And it's about a girl who doesn't really get along with her sort of strict father. She wants to be on the radio.
Oh, yeah.
As you do.
Yep.
And just be free and... I think there's sort of a conservative culture built around, like, we have to just stay safe. And the youthful generation is like, hey, I want to go live and go see these fractured states of America. It was cool. I think the world is really interesting. It was a nice way of getting into this post-apocalyptic world without having it be like, in 2050, this thing happened. It was bad, and then it got worse. It was just like, no, this is the world, and we'll deal with it.
Yeah, and it was fun to have a kind of like narrator who's not bummed out by the fact that, like, you know, Mother Earth, like, just trashed the whole place.
Imagine there being less Florida. It's amazing.
I also really liked the friendship she had with an alligator. That was, like, really fun and adorable. It's cool. Her friendship.
You know, an alligator took my hand, Pete. You know that.
Why are you happy, Gilmore? Is that what you're?
Are you happy, Gilmore?
I think this is very creative, a fun take on something we've seen the post-apocalyptic future a ton of times, and the art is also kind of heightens this funness in this dark world. So. I'm very interested to see how this unfolds. I think they did a great job of, like, laying this out a little bit and getting you excited for more.
Cool. Let's move back to another Marvel comic book, Yondu number one, everybody's favorite Guardians of the Galaxy cast member, finally in his own book, mucking it up in the galaxy, committing crime, and getting drunk.
Man, I like future Yondu.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm a dork, but I like cool finned Yondu.
Yes.
That's me.
Well, but that's what they're playing with here, right? They're playing with the history of Yondu, which is fun.
Classic Guardians of the Galaxy, where they were a bunch of weirdos in the 30th century.
Right. And here we get to see the more Michael Rooker interpretation of Yondu as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. This is fun. I like these weird space books that Marvel puts out every once in a while. I feel like they never last, unfortunately, but it's nice to see them when they come out.
I agree. One thing that's always bothered me about movie Yondu and Yondu in general is that whistling arrow, too powerful.
Too powerful?
He just can fly around and kill everybody.
Yeah. It's pretty cool.
No, that's what whistles do.
No, whistles aren't powerful.
Anyone can whistle. All you have to do is put your lips together and blow, Justin.
Wow. Oh, my God.
Cool.
I don't know what movie you're quoting, but I can completely...
Look it up.
You don't know what movie he's quoting?
Yeah, I'm totally blanking on it.
It's right. Happy Gilmore.
Yeah.
I think this is a very... Because I didn't know this history about Yondu. So the fact that he is shaving off his kind of like big mohawk is kind of an interesting take. And it's kind of cool to see his backstory.
The shaving part.
Well, no, I didn't know that he was like saying no to his kind of heritage by doing that.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right.
So I think it was like, it was cool to learn that about him. And then it was interesting to see someone who also can do the whistle trick. And
it's the same, yeah. He's his future ancestor.
Yeah, yeah. And the fact that he got grills instead of being able to whistle is very interesting.
Glad you're interested in his teeth and hair. Moving on to Image Comics Deadly Class number 41. Now, Marcus is back at school. He is popular now. Everybody likes him. But also, Saya is back in school after a long time. She's got to warn him about a bunch of stuff, but he's too interested in being popular and hanging out with people. I love this new status quo for the book.
Yeah. It feels like, and it's sad that the TV series is over, but it feels like Rick Remender is pouring so much into this title and like writing the shit out of the characters, adding these more modern topical themes. Like there's sort of a toxic masculinity take in here in a couple different ways, I thought.
It's nice to see the rapist die. I mean, that was great.
Yeah.
But I also...
how were his hair and teeth?
I don't know. But I just think that
weird
like
that you didn't check that out.
Yeah.
You are hair and teeth correspondent.
Yeah, yeah. it's also tough because it's like,
oh, that's right. I'm sorry. When I said you were our teen correspondent, I meant teeth correspondent.
Yeah.
Marcus is tough as a main character because there are times you love him and there are times he drives you insane. And for most of this issue he was driving me insane. Like, don't be so cold to see him, man. Like she's done a lot and been through a lot. And he was just really being a douche.
Well, that's what's great about this book is he really writes these teen characters where they like fuck up all the time. Yeah. They're over philosophizing all the time. And I think that's really, it's very smartly done.
Yeah, I agree. Last one we're going to talk
about.
Also,
the art's phenomenal.
The art is phenomenal. Last one we're going to talk about from DC Comics, Green Lantern Black Stars number one by Grant Morrison. Now, he ended his The Green Lantern series, and it ended with Hal Jordan joining the Black Stars, which is an organization that wants to police the universe by ruling the universe, essentially.
Yeah, they're like aggressive cops.
Yes.
Cool.
So cops.
I have a complaint I would like to file.
Oh, yes. Okay, great.
You came to the right place.
I'm opening up the Blade file. Hand me over your paperwork, please, Pete. Thank you very much. Yeah. Okay, everything seems to be in order. I'll just put it here in this file and close that back up.
And now, sir, you may rant for as long as you have breath.
Great. So there's a lot of amazing DC books coming out this week, and you chose this fucking comic of like Lois Lane. We could be talking about Batman right now. There's so many other comics, and you were like, let's talk about this fucking thing.
Yeah, man.
It was just like, hey, did you like Grant Morrison on Green Lantern? Cool. We're going to turn it up to 11.
Well, first of all, I appreciate you saying nothing about this until we got on the podcast.
Right.
Second of all, we like to talk about number ones on the podcast. I think it's good to talk about that because...
Because we're number one.
Yeah, we're number one. We are number one comic book podcast on the internet. That's not true. When you're going into a comic book store and you see a new number one, I think there is that initial thrill, that excitement.
Yeah.
But then you're like, do I want to really get into a new series? So I think it's good to hopefully for you, the listeners, to hear what our opinions are so you can judge whether that is something you want to jump into. Because Batman, you're not going to be like, I don't know, 95th issue of Batman, not sure I feel about this.
What's
bad
up
guy.
With this
but
guy?
It's fucking City of Bane, and we've been like going through so much.
Totally.
You know what? You can read it and then whisper your opinions into your pillow. How about that? How about that, Pete?
Your own fucking comic book podcast, Pete.
Get off this lawn, you bastard.
Anyway, Green Lantern Black Stars, this book is biznonkers, I loved it and actually liked it better than the Green Lantern book, I think.
What?
Well, yeah, I can see that because it's weirder, but he has more ownership of these characters.
Yes.
Because they're his, I'm assuming.
I think so. I mean, listen, it's Grant Morrison, so they're probably like, oh, they were in one book 25 years ago that I read that they were mentioned in one panel, and they have a smaller one that flies out of their head and turns into a vampire.
Yeah, it's wild. It's like he keeps increasingly backing further into his own weird corner and eventually, like, what's going on in that corner?
Yeah, I don't know. So this one is, there's like a countdown going on type thing to the wedding of Hal Jordan and this vampire Black Star.
Yeah.
The leader.
And that's the actual Hal Jordan.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, Parallax.
Who they keep calling Parallax because he's been corrupted by the controllers.
Yeah,
I think.
Comptrollers?
Comptrollers. It is election day here in New York when we're taping this.
I voted.
Yeah. So that's the rough story of what's going on, but it's essentially Hal Jordan being walked through training day in the Black Stars, being like, see this horrible fucked up thing we do? Isn't that great? It's really ruling the universe. Hey, why don't we go directly for Bogle and one of the most powerful beings of the DC universe? And Hal Jordan's like, I don't think that's a great idea. And they're like, nah, it's fine. And then proceed to completely obliterate Mongol very quickly. And I think what's happening so effectively with this book is they are, by turning them around and making them a protagonist, showing us what a big, huge, dangerous enemy they are. Because I think most of the time you get it from the perspective of the Green Lantern Corps. It's like, oh no, there's this invading alien army. They're coming for Oa. Hooray, we got them away from Oa. Now we're getting to see the invading alien army's perspective. And for them to fight back against that is going to be that much bigger a threat. And it amps up the stakes.
It's cool. And I love the way to do that. I haven't seen someone jump off the title to establish his villains that hard.
Yeah.
And then presumably jump back on the Green Lantern title and have that go forward.
Yeah. So very cool stuff. If you would like to support our podcast, patreon.com/comicbookclub. Also, we do a live show every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. at the People's Improv Theater Loft in New York. Come on by and we'll chat with you about comic books. Pete, what do you want to plug?
Friend us on Facebook so you get to know about the amazing guests we have on our live show.
Follow us on Twitter at Comic Book Live.
Check us out at comicbookclub@live.com for this podcast and more. You can subscribe and comment on iTunes, Android, Spotify, Stitcher, or the app of your choice. And remember to check out Pete's Teen Beat on the Street podcast, where he reviews whatever comic books he wants. It's very cool.
The only place to get it is if you're in bed next to him, listening very closely to him whispering into his pillow.
And it's not on any island.
You guys want to go play fetch? That blows your mind.